You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey now, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. 10:30, The Voice, local news and talk. Good morning to you, Thomas J. Callahan. How are you doing?
Good. You?
I'm living the dream.
You had a 1-in-26 shot, by the way, but you missed.
I know. Thomas C. Callahan.
No. We're down to 24.
Oh, it's got to be Michael.
Definitely not.
What's your middle initial? You don't have to say the actual.
W.
William.
After my dad, yeah, William.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
T.W. Callahan.
That's that Irish Catholic tradition.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. My middle name's after my dad, so I'm there, bro. And we're Italian. So speaking of Italian, how's that for a transition? Tomorrow evening, 5:30, Michelle from Flying Aprons lost her mind and asked me if I would do a cooking class. So I foolishly said yes. And so tomorrow at 5:30, I will be doing an online cooking class at flyingapronstucson.com. It's not too late to get in. It's going to be the challenge will be that the later you get in, because you don't really have to cook anything. You can just, you know, pay the fee and have a good laugh. But, you know, you're supposed to get you got to buy the shrimp and the fettuccine and all that stuff. So, but you can still do it. Flying Tucson. That's not bad either. FlyingApronsTucson.com, and we're going to do a cook-along class tomorrow night, fettuccine alfredo, shrimp, and garlic bread. I have an Italian playlist. We got some great wines from Plaza Liquors that were sent out to you guys, and we will have a heck of a time. So please join us, and what's amazing is when I invite people to my house and I say, hey, we're having fettuccine alfredo, and they go, oh, I never made that at home. It's so freaking easy. You should be making it at home. Is he ready to go? Well, we just had Frank Figluzzi on the show talking about the FBI way as I'm introducing you to some new books. We had local author E.P. Spiegel on last week, and now welcome to John Kim is author. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. From FBI to wellness, huh? Singlehood.
You and maybe after talking to the FBI, we need more wellness. So, So John Kim, the book is called Single on Purpose. Give us a little bio of John first, and then we'll talk about the book.
Yeah, 35, went through a divorce and a rebirth and decided to be single for, you know, a long stretch, about 4 to 5 years. And in Los Angeles, I became a therapist and started to build a relationship with myself, realized that I need to work on me. And then as I started to see clients, I realized that it wasn't just me, but so many people were depressed or lonely or frustrated because they didn't have someone to love. And I realized that, you know, singlehood has been vilified and we need to give it a cape. You know, there's nothing wrong with you because you're single.
Did you, was there any kids in the divorce, if I can be asked to be so bold?
No. Okay. And I wonder if it would have went another way if there was, but I just had a child less than a year ago, and I'm 47, so redefining things, you know.
Now, let's talk about, so it's interesting that we're having this discussion. So I've had this, I've been happily married now for 26 years, okay?
And wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And one of the things, it's interesting, one of the compliments I got from single friends in that first several years of being married was we always had them over. Like, it didn't change my relationship with them. And they said, hey, thanks for being one of the only married couple that didn't turn into marry. And then I can't say the other word on the air. but I talk about this thing called the vicious cycle of getting married. Okay. Now this is coming from a happily married guy, right? It's, there's this thing where we date, right? And after about 6 months, there's that, are we going to blank or get off the pot here kind of moment, right? And then you say, well, I got to get engaged. right? And then what, I know you're supposed to talk about this book, so I feel like so bad I'm talking over this poor guy in his book, but I'm fascinated with his book. So so what happens is we all plan, we have that romantic moment where we get engaged, you know, the violins, the balcony, all that jazz,
mm-hmm.
and then we we're planning a party, right? After that, instead of, are we discerning, is this really for us? Is this the person we want to spend the rest of our life with? And I feel like on the back end of the preparation for wedding, we're missing all the things of, should we remain single or marry this person for the rest of our life?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we live in chasing highlight reels instead of documentaries. And I think you're absolutely right. I've learned the picket fence at Splinters. And I'm not saying that don't get married. I mean, I think marriage is amazing, but I think people underestimate what it takes to build a marriage, you know, and for it to have legs. I think we get married too fast. I think we also leave too fast, you know, and I'm guilty of that. And so when we're single, I think the soil is the richest for growth and to really discover who you are and work on your tools and connect to yourself first. So when you find someone who you want to love or get married, you're coming in there with so much more, you know, bringing more to the table than just someone who is seeking approval and validation.
And then some of these things happen because of various biological urges. And then we're not building the spiritual soil like you're talking about.
Yeah, and you're setting yourself up for a very difficult relationship, challenging one.
So let's do this. I want to go to break. I know I have you to the bottom of the hour, which is good because I want to get a little deeper on the book and Single on Purpose, and we'll talk about that more with this author. And like I said, when I saw the title of the book, I was fascinated with where John went. It's called Single on Purpose. So we'll be right back with author John Kim. You have a question, 790-2040. Wake up, Tucson. All right. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We're talking with author John Kim, who has some other great book titles, of course, The No BS Guide to Finding and Living Your Own Truth, and, of course, the I Used to Be a Miserable Blank. So you can't beat that title. The new one, Single on Purpose, Find Yourself First. So, John, so let's talk about some of the mistakes that single people make, and then let's talk about how do they find themselves.
Yeah, I was just thinking, as you were mentioning my book, I used to be a miserable blank, and then now I'm single on purpose. There's a connection there to no longer be miserable. Maybe it is a good idea to be single on purpose. Tips to be single? Is that what you're asking?
Well, yeah, I guess it's helpful. Let's talk about some of the mistakes that people who are single make first, and then let's talk about how to make that better.
Yeah, I think the first mistake is when you're single, you're just desperately looking for someone else. And I think especially today with swipe culture, you're going to continually puncture your self-esteem if you're just swiping and, you know, not getting the likes or the matches, and then you start getting discouraged. So the number one mistake would be, instead of working on your relationship with yourself, you're just going from one lily pad to another lily pad and just trying to find someone, you know, get into a relationship as fast as you can. That would be mistake number one.
Okay. Now, and of course, your advice would be to drop the Tinders of the world and forget about doing that now?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say drop it. Just don't let that be the only way to meet people. Don't tie your worth to it. Use it when you feel good about yourself. And you know, maybe swipe for 10, 15 minutes, but, you know, to sit on your phone for 3 hours. Just use you know, when you go to the ice cream store and they give you a little spoon to taste things?
Yes.
Use a little spoon on dating apps, right? Don't get an ice cream sundae that you're going to have a stomach ache and feel shitty about yourself.
And I know things are weird in relation to lockdowns and Rona, but I want to kind of make the assumption that we're going to get out of this very soon and we can go back to normal life, which, of course, does affect that single scene, right?
Sorry, go.
You go.
No, I was going to say, I don't know about you, but I, you know, I'm at the age where when I was like, someone out, that's asked for their phone number. I had to, you know, have the courage to like think of something clever to do, pick them up, you know, put my CDs into my CD disc changer and all of that. And today it's like we've become baseball cards and very disposable. And a date today is, you know, a 5-minute coffee conversation. It's just, there's no more romance. Dating is dead.
So as building yourself up and improving yourself, what does that game plan look like for people?
Oh, it's a very long, it's a long journey, because I think it's something you do for the rest of your life. I just encourage people to start it. I think it looks different for everyone. So for me, it looked like, you know, I bought a motorcycle. I got into CrossFit and fitness. I started journaling, blogging, started asking important questions like, you know, who am I? What do I want? How do I want to design my life? And then kind of looking at all my stuff, you know, my patterns, looking inward, you know, what are my patterns that are unhealthy? Where do they come from? So it's just the beginning of all of that, instead of blaming and just trying to be with someone because they're hot or they turn you on, making better choices, healthier choices.
When I have single friends who keep asking me about, man, I keep meeting the wrong people and blah, blah, blah. I always describe, we're like, you know, when you watch those National Geographic specials, when they put one of those radar tags on a shark and they watch its patterns on how it swims in the water, right?
Yeah, exactly, right.
I said, we need you to change your swim pattern. Do something different.
Yeah.
Do something that you're interested in. You'll meet more people who, you know, one day might be interested in what you're doing, and maybe a basis of, whether it's romantic or not, just building up quality relationships.
Yeah, and I think the way to change your swim pattern is to first look inward. You know, where did these patterns come from? Why do you do what you do? Why are you attracted to certain types of people? You know, what's happening underneath, that kind of stuff.
So we see so many, I want to get back to the, so many people have their face trapped in their phone. We see a lot of studies that too much time on this social media crap can make loneliness worse. So what does John Kim, the author of Single on Purpose, talk about just social media in general in relation to improving yourself?
I know it's hard to do with the pandemic, but get out of your head and get out of your house. Those are two things that I told myself I would do every day. So getting involved in communities, actually, you know, hanging out with real people and establishing authentic relationships, getting out of your head, right? Not playing back old relationships and living in the past and the highlight reel we play back, you know, all of that stuff. And being super present and starting to build a life that's honest to you. Instead of living on your phone and just like in a bubble, right? Just kind of being on the couch. Everything is delivered now. So you could literally sit on your couch, swipe, watch TV, order food. You could never leave your couch. And to me, that's not living. That's just existing.
Let's talk about the spiritual side of things, right? It's always the thing where no matter how... Whatever faith you believe in, talk about how faith, spirit, building the spiritual side, I assume is a very important part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, and I'm still on that path. Being a spiritual person, whatever that looks like for you, believing something greater than you, I think is the ultimate, you know, living a through me life instead of a to me life or a by me life pulls you out of the quicksand. You know, that's where you start to have a sense of purpose. That's where you become fearless. That's where you're less lonely. So for me, you know, it started with a blog and helping people, and that became bigger than me. And there's a spiritual piece where I feel like whenever I'm helping someone or writing books, or it doesn't matter how I do it, that I feel kind of called to do that. And so finding your calling and what you feel is greater than you and your story.
There's that live to be served versus living to serve. And that's where I think when you make that, when you make that leap from living to be served to living to serve, it's a big jump up in your quality of life.
That's really interesting. I've never heard that. So what's the difference between those two?
It's the idea that when you're living to be served, you're waiting for everyone else to come to you, right? And they're going to, you know, and they're going to do things by the way you want things done. And living to serve means you're going out there and actually actively trying to make other people's lives better. Right. I think once you make that leap, that's a really big part of the journey. When you make that leap, then you're back on the path.
I agree 100%, and that's the whole living through me, you know, whoever your God is, something greater than you working through you, so, instead of victim mode, and, you know, things happen to me.
So one of our listeners messaged into me. He wanted to ask you how to deal with loneliness, like non-social media-wise. How do you deal, if there's someone listening to the show right now who is lonely, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think many people are, especially with the pandemic. First of all, it's a real thing. You know, it sucks. I get it. I've been there. But it's also not forever. So it's a feeling like anger. And I think the way that you deal with it is to ignore it, or it's actually to allow yourself to feel it, but don't tie your worth to it. So just because you're feeling loneliness doesn't mean that you are, you know, lonely or not wanted. It's the labels that we attach to our feeling. You know what I'm saying? It's not the feeling itself. Allow ourselves to feel lonely, and then we do something about it, surrounding ourselves with friends or building something or whatever, get busy doing something that is greater than you. Then the loneliness fades, and then, you know, it kind of goes through you. If you just dwell on it and you say, well, because I'm lonely, it means no one wants to be with me. It means I'm defective. It means I'm worthless. Now you've internalized it, and this is where, you know, it turns into quicksand, and you spiral downward.
So in the lockdown world of we're not so bad in Arizona. Where are you calling from?
L.A.
Oh, sorry.
Where it's really bad.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Half your state's living in Arizona right now. So don't. We just literally had one of our contributors yesterday talk about how there's these kids who play really high level club soccer, and their parents have literally rented a place in Scottsdale for 6 months, and they're all commuting on their jobs and education on a computer, and living in Phoenix playing soccer.
That's so funny.
Just to get the hell out of California.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's a lot of exodus happening everywhere.
So you're we got about 2 more minutes or less. So you're at the height of lockdown world in LA County. Tell me about, give one or two for people who are in those areas that feel like they're locked down and it's hard to go out and do something. Give me one or two methods or what that you should be looking to do to break the cycle of loneliness in a lockdown world.
I actually started a community during the pandemic for just this reason, to be less lonely. It's called the Lab, and we actually meet on Zoom, and it's all about like-minded people working on themselves, so working on their codependency and attachment styles and learning how to love and all of that stuff. So that's one way to do it, is actually to use things like Zoom.
How do they get hooked into your Lab thing?
Oh, just go to my Instagram at The Angry Therapist and hit the bio link, and you'll see all my stuff there. But I think that's one way. And then also to get out of the house, go on hikes, do things that you can do on your own, get on a motorcycle or a bicycle or go on a walk, listen to podcasts, you know, do stuff like that, do things that are creative. I think that's really important. So whether you're painting or writing, when you're being creative, you could hit flow states, you know, and I think that's important. So building a life like that with what you have and what you can do, instead of just staying on social media or just watching Netflix and isolating, I think that's what's dangerous.
What I want to know, I want to get this guy to a point where he is the angry therapist. He sounds so cool and chill, and so...
Anger isn't a bad thing, depending on what you do with it. But no, I used to be very angry because I was unhappy and I was, you know, chasing shiny things. I was very empty.
Well, John, I appreciate the conversation. Good luck on the new book, Single on Purpose. And even when you're not pushing some books, I'd love to renew the conversation with you. This is pretty valuable stuff for listeners.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, John. Have a good day. That's The Angry Therapist, John Kim. The book is Single on Purpose. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, 8:35 in the morning. I enjoyed my conversation with the angry therapist, John Kim. Getting a lot of nice comments from some folks via email and other things. Also in my rant about how Pima County... not getting the criticism it deserves for being one of the worst counties in the state of Arizona in rolling out vaccinations. So, again, maybe a few of you Democrats, if you get pissed off at Chuck, maybe he'll move his butt. Because And again, Rex Scott and Matt Hines, if you rehire him, wow. What a way to start off your careers, rehiring a loser that doesn't take care of stuff, and by slow rolling out the vaccine, maybe some people might be losing their lives that shouldn't have lost their lives. So young Thomas, T.W. Callahan, as we call him now, he's going to clip that. We're going to send that out to a few folks before it's all over. So a couple of days ago, because I know so many people, especially on the right side of the aisle, just are so frustrated and down and they're pissed off and they don't like, you know, the Twitter, Facebook, and you shouldn't. I get it. Especially, again, it's all about intellectual honesty, right? When you see what Twitter and Facebook allow on their pages, or, you know, and they're going to go, you know, either Trump or anyone else that they didn't like their behavior or whatever, or what they said. And it's their private platform. They can do whatever they want. You know, I think personally, if us at the radio world or FCC, either let us go that we don't have FCC regulations or put them under some similar regulations. That would be my take. Let's have a fair playing field. Either release the TV and radio stations that we can do whatever we want without the Fed up our nose, or put them under similar restrictions that we're under. I think there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure they're all in for equal treatment of everybody. So I asked this question a couple of days ago. Please provide reasons to stay on Facebook. Because you've all told me why to get off. So I said, why to stay on? And it hit a little bit of a nerve with folks. 176 people came back to me. And there's fun stuff and there's serious stuff. So we have, and then some people are like, get the hell off. Polly loves to see when I post food pictures. So if you're, I always want to support my local restaurants. So number one is when I'm at a place, if you eat lunch with me, one day I'll take Tom Callahan to lunch because I've just been not taking lunch. And I should have taken you to lunch like 4 weeks ago, but we're going to take out the lunch. And everyone knows if you eat with me, don't eat your food until I take a picture of it. I'm one of those nerds. And what I want is I want people to see how good this stuff is, and I want to support these local restaurants. We've been doing it for years on this show. It's an easy way to do it. So I actually forgot that yesterday I was at Frankie's Cheesesteak with Kim from IBE, and I got this big, beautiful cheesesteak salad, and it looked great, and I got to post it up later, but that's what you do, right? You want to support these folks. And then also, I like supporting the idea that people try to cook at home more. Maybe that's why this Flying Aprons thing appealed to me, because I love that people, maybe they can, it's really, there's easy things you can do out there where you don't have to eat crap and, you know, and have fun doing it. For me, cooking is a relaxation. So Polly says, I want to see what you had for dinner last night. And I'll post pictures of what me and or Mrs. D cooked the night before. So I just did a beautiful maple syrup spice glazed pork loin with smashed red potatoes and green beans. You know, it wasn't that hard. It all took me an hour. It was good stuff. Some people, Richard, keep your friends, this is reasons to stay on Facebook, right? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. That was cute. Pure amusement. Listener Gary, why let them win? Right? Why scare them off the platform? Matt Russell, he wants pictures of Mrs. DeSimone's cooking. A question that came up, I assume an answer that came up a lot, is people are in certain groups that have a specific interest they're into. Right? So Henry says, I'm into Tucson Storm Chasers and other groups, and these are the things that I'm interested in, and I don't know where to go to find that again. Right? He said he did open a MeWe account. I love saying the word MeWe. Several years ago, and I'm using it more as late. I will open up something else. I have a Twitter page, but I'm going to deactivate it because there's nothing good on Twitter. It's just nothing but... It's good sometimes because you can scroll through a lot of kind of news stuff. But you know something? It's not worth the vitriol. They just call Twitter vitriol. Just call it vitriol. It's ugly on Twitter. It's an ugly place. Listener Joni to get scammed. That's why a good reason. you know, Rachel, I follow my family stuff, right? Because that's, you know, I did a survey of seniors 2 summers ago on media habits. My brother and I were thinking about, you know, what kind of marketing to seniors that we would do for Blue Chip Planning. And so I remember asking media habits, and I said to them, are you on social media? And 20% said yes. Then I would say, why are you on? Because my kids told me I had to get on to see pictures of my grandkids. And then I would say, how often are you on? And they'll say, once a month. So when you see these people, like even when they talk about elections, they say, oh, we got to get that Facebook going on because we're going to get the, you know, all this stuff, right? And there's seniors on there too. Yeah, but they're only checking it out once a month. That's another interesting thing. Wendy from Chef Chic, cute animal pictures and videos. former K-Gun 9 GM Ray Deppa, friend of the show, lives in Kentucky. I refuse to run away or hide or be intimidated by the haters. I liked it. Let's see. Well, not bad. Heller said call it Twitchriol. That's not bad. I like Twitchriol. That's not too bad. Donald, Eastside Don, not all of life is politics. It's a great way to stay in touch with people and find old friends. I'm not leaving Facebook. What else do we got here? Our old friend Green Party Dave, large stream of thought and news sharing, instant karma, family and friends, our veteran friend Dominica, information gathering, information sharing. Let's see. You know, for me personally, one of the reasons I about Facebook is it's really the small business thing. All the small businesses and restaurants that are part of that, it's part of what I do in promoting what they do. If I go over to someplace else, it's going to be a totally different market, and I'm going to be giving up years and years of developing, you know, the amount of friends you have, right? And one of the things I don't like about Facebook, I can't prove it. It just feels like anything that has certain keywords that they want to choke down doesn't get out to as many people in my feed of humanity in Facebook. Where if I put the picture of the cat hanging from the little tree branch that says hang in there, it goes out to, like, it feels like everyone gets that, right? But if I have something that's like about corona lockdowns or things like that, all of a sudden it goes, and that's the part about Facebook I don't like. I don't like the echo chambering of it, that they feed you more of what you click on. I wish there was a button I can press to eliminate that and just give me whatever everyone's got. And if it's in real time, that's okay. That's why I think Facebook would be better. Instead of feeding, and I know this is good against their marketing part of what they do, is if Facebook wanted to make the world better, just give me everything that my friends are posting and just do it in real time. So if I'm on it and I'm looking at my feed, whatever's been the last 28 posts from people in my feed, just show me that. I'd rather see that than this crap where we're just feeding each other the same old junk. It would just be better for humanity. You know me, Mr. Humanity. Let's go to the phone, 790-2040. Cowboy Dave, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Chris, you know, I was listening to this program Sunday night, and then Mark Levin talked about it last night. But this happened November 7th, 1983, and it was an armed resistance unit called the Weather Underground, and they set a bomb off at the state capitol at the door of Senator Robert KKK Byrd. They blew the door off the hinges, and the Secret Service got involved, the FBI. They arrested a bunch of these, and it was a bunch of women. And these women were arrested and then tried and convicted and put away for 16, 20, 30 years. Well, Congressman Nadler asked President Clinton to pardon two of these women, and two of them were pardoned under Clinton. A lady named, I wouldn't call her a lady, I would call her a parasite, setting the bomb off.
Right.
Susan Rosenberg and Linda Sue Evans. Now, both of these ladies are parasites. They're working for the Biden-Harris campaign. How do you, you know, it just don't make sense. But you can Google November 7th, 1983, and there's an article, because what they were protesting about was the Lebanon Marine Corps barracks and an invasion of Grenada. Now, I was down in Grenada. I was with the 2nd Ranger Battalion. We did a parachute assault to rescue a bunch of American medical students that were being held against their will. and we faced, and it was under President Reagan.
Oh, I see that she was pardoned by Clinton.
She was, yeah,
before he left office.
It was two ladies pardoned by Clinton, and now these two ladies are parasites. They're working for the Biden-Harris campaign, and it just don't make sense.
Well, again, this is what happens when you have a media that's dropped the ball.
Yeah, they don't want to talk about this. You know, there's been many attacks on Congress and the Senate, but, you know, all you have to do is Google it, and you got 15, 20 articles coming up, and then they start talking about this fiasco that happened last week, and it was like the worst thing ever happened to the state capitol. No, it wasn't. Did you see that lady that was giving Chuckie Schumer a hard time in New York City?
I did not.
Give it. It was, yeah, you got to watch it. It was a transsexual, and she let him have it. Let me say, it was good.
Where was this at? He was doing a press conference?
Downtown New York. Yeah, he was trying to make a speech about impeaching Trump, and he's got his private security. And she's on the public sidewalk, and they could not stop her from speaking, and she was interrupting. And she, everything that she talked about made sense. And Chuckie Schumer, he started getting all bewildered and
well, I'll have to go find
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you got
to
check it out.
Well,
it's all over. Yeah,
Dave, thanks for the call. Like I said, all attacks on these buildings are wrong.
It's crazy. It's not right.
come on, all
lock
of them.
Lock them up.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You too.
A couple more things I want to get here real quick. On it was just like I said, it was fascinated some of these people. You know, the hell with politics. My friends are here. These are reasons to stay on Facebook. Keith, I rant. Keith does rant. I true. Steve, I like it better than MeWe, but I'm on both. Better News and Patriot Friends. It works well for me. Some people say they have a set date that they're leaving on. Well, this one was on the inauguration. My friends and family are here. I'd rather delete the idiots than me. I no longer talk politics on Facebook. And that's something else I thought about. What happened was I've kind of hinted on the show on a couple of posts that I'll go to someplace else to do the politics stuff because I feel like I'm not getting choked like I would on Facebook. And I'll do all of my, you know, my restaurant stuff and, you know, Tucson and kind of more fun stuff. And then I had people message me and go, but I follow your Facebook page to tell me what's going on in Tucson. So there's a little bit of a, because there's some people because of their work schedule, whatever, can't listen to the show live. And then they get home and they're cooking dinner for their kids or whatever. And so sometimes when they're sitting there, you know, bored at the DMV online and they're going through their Facebook page, they'll go to my page, they'll tell me, and they at least hook on some of the local news stuff that's not getting kind of aggregated at other places. So, again, I'm not going to get rid of it because there's too many connections local business-wise, but damn it, they're pushing me. Damn it, they are pushing me. All right, let's go visit some great sponsors here on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 Voice of the Voice tomorrow. Food Friday is the new locale Italian restaurant. We have Tim Sandifer from the Goldwater Institute. And then I have a change on you. We're going to move that 7:30. That's going to be rescheduled. And I have Laura Reese from Heritage Foundation on at 6:30 tomorrow in the morning. So Food Friday with Locale, Heritage Foundation, Tim Sandifer from the Goldwater Institute. So Christy Simone, TWC on the other side. Wake Up Tucson. That could be the Weather Channel too. The Weather Channel or Thomas W. Callahan. So Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right. Listener in the broadcast business, I can't reveal his name. We call him hashtag the curse. He said folks can follow another page to get the politics. You're not asking for that much. That might be true. So today, huge meeting today in Phoenix. It's the first meeting of the Independent Redistricting Commission, which will determine the legislative and congressional lines in Arizona for the next 10 years. And so a friend of the show, David Meal, is one of the Republican folks on it. And they're going to meet today, and they have five people who are going to be considered a independent chair candidate, because there's two D's, two R's, and then there's an independent who is the chair. Okay. And what happened last time was the Democrats really stacked the deck with ex-Democrats who were independents. And even after the Republicans got rid of most of their stuff, we got stuck with someone who was really a Democrat in independent clothing. And that's why we have screwed up districts the way we had it. That's why Tucson had as many districts LDs around it as possible. So all you people that are getting those good free rides being an LD in Tucson, there's going to be a lot less coming up, I believe, this next year. So we have Megan Carollo, owner of the Flower Bar, a luxury flower bar, a luxury floral boutique in Scottsdale. We have Thomas Locuvarn, who's the general counsel of corporate services at a utility company, EPCOR, and was the general counsel of Pinnacle West, the parent company of APS Electricity. Erica Schupak Neuberg, a psychologist with a practice in Scottsdale who serves as a national board member of the National Israeli Public Affairs Committee. Gregory Teasdale, who is a Oral Valley resident and former executive at tech startup. And then Robert Wilson, who owns a business consulting practice and gun store in Flagstaff. I like the guy who was a gun store. He's probably the best guy so far, I think. But let's see what we got here. They have their applications. Let's see. This is the flower lady. She became a member of the Scottsdale Member of Chamber of Commerce 2 years ago, and she's into flowers. Okay. Got it. I like that. Don't know what her political stuff is, but we'll keep going. Let's get to this guy, Teasdale. He's the guy. He's one of my neighbors in Oral Valley. Says he was in Startup Tucson from like up until 2016. So that's probably hanging out with my guy, Tony Ford. We're going to have to go through this a little bit. Let's see. Oral Valley. Drexel, MBA from ASU 88. He was with Strongwatch Corporation, Startup Tucson for 2 years, and Tempronics up until 2019. He founded and ran the 10 West Festival. I don't know if that's good or not. My interest in the initiative is very simple. I believe in the mission. I believe at its core, the redistricting effort is a resolution of a complex problem. I'm proud to reinforce this core value of the United States Constitution. Have you been continuously registered for at least the last 3 years with the same political party or unaffiliated? Yes. Let's see. Not a lobbyist. What else do we got here? I like this. Have you paid all your taxes? That's a cute question. I like that. Let's get to his... this is Gregory Teasdale from Oral Valley. Seasoned executive, CFO, Tempronics, a solid-state thermoelectric systems, 10 West. We'll have to do more of this. You can watch at the Secretary of State's website. You can watch the meeting. It starts at 11 o'clock. Today. We'll go through some of these people a little bit more, but we'll see you tomorrow. Should be a fun show. Looking forward to meet the kids from Locale on their new Italian restaurant on Broadway and Alvernon. Zach's coming up next. Billy Buck at noon. Wake up.